was is that you were that you were assigned to.
Well, I was in Department 5. I'll tell you, what I'll have to do is look at a old Lockheed Star around here. I don't remember the number of the building, but it, there was a gate close mm-hmm. to it. I didn't have to go in mm-hmm. there. Of course, you had to go past the guard, and you were supposed to wear your badge, so I wore my badge. But a lot of the girls said, well, that badge tears my blouse, and so they had a time with them. But most of the time, I wore my badge because I didn't wear too fancy a blouse to work. I thought that was dirty old work, and you know, those blouses had to be dry cleaned, and that looked like it was ridiculous. So generally, unless a bunch of us were going bowling or something mm-hmm. after work, I wore cotton blouses. Oh, and then I hadn't been there very long till I saw that some of the women had shop coats. So if I was going to wear those wool slacks, I got myself a shop coat. And it had Lockheed on the back. I think I bought it at the, it was kind of big for me, but it had pockets in it. And I've always liked pockets, and that's one thing I have against women's slacks now. They don't have pockets.
Now, tell me, in terms of that first day then, when you were assigned to the department, how large was the department, and what was the physical layout of it?
Oh, dear, it was big. I would say that, Department 5, there was this ground floor where I worked, and there was a balcony, and then there was another one. There were it was a big building. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not good at square feet. Now, maybe that, I'll tell you, though, I'll ask somebody and try to tell you.
But the department, was that in one of the big buildings where final assembly was being done? Or was
no,
that
final assembly was further out. No, this was, I guess they called this, they had precision assembly up on the third. They had electrical on the balcony, and they had tubing assembly where I was. And they did have these big tube bending machines. Now, when I first went in, only men were working on them, but it wasn't long until they put some of the bigger women on there. And I found out those tube benders got more money, and I thought I'd like to do that, but I was told I was too small, so.
Now, when the lead brought you to your job site, how many were in the that he was the lead over?
Oh, let's see. There must have, oh heavens, they were kind of climbing all over us. There must have been at least 8 working at those 2 benches. Then there was a paint rack back there, and there was a man, and he had a girl helping him. Then there was some assemblers. In this department, except for the lead man, there were only old men and women, except this painter. Now, this fellow was not lead man over the bender, tube bending. There was another lead man over there. So he must have had, 20 or so people under him, because there were about 8 of us there. And he had those 2 back there in the paint. That would have been 10. And there were 6 or 8 there, and then it seems like there were some women doing something else. I've forgotten. I would say that there were 18 or 20 of us, and I believe that's all he had under him, because there was more than, there were several group leaders in there, and there was more than one section supervisor, and more than one lead man. So I think that that's, I believe there were 2 or 3 lead men in that tubing. I don't remember now.
And in your little section or crew, what would you call that unit under the one lead?
Oh, well, this was tubing detail assembly, and the first thing we did when the tubes came in, we put the color code on them. We taped them, and then they had to be lacquered, and that was I didn't like to be around while they were spraying that lacquer. At that time, the air quality in there was bad where they lacquered. And then some of the tubes let's see, which ones are the coolant tubes, got their color code painted on instead of taped on. I guess it was depended on where they went. Evidently, the tape didn't hold up there. Now, they were doing that at that time. They don't do it quite like that now. And then, of course, there were tubes. There were, oh, that's right. Yes, he must have had at least 20, because I remember there was a machine that flared the tubes. But there were two or three people putting these BT nuts and sleeves on, and then some of the tubes got beaded. They had a beading machine, and some of them got flared. And it was all written out on an order. But we brought they were brought into us, and oh my goodness, sometimes you go in and here'd be just these. What do we call them? I call them a hod, metal container with lots of tubes. And, of course, here was another thing. The fellow didn't always, the lead man didn't assign them generally, and we'd look. And nobody liked to tape the hydraulic tubes because that was blue, yellow, blue, and that meant you had to have three rolls of tape, and you had to keep those three straight and get them close together. So whoever got in first would probably pick off the fuel because that was red and that was just one. And then let's see, what in the world was, oh, engine oil was yellow. And I used to know almost all of those. But I'll never forget the hydraulic was blue, yellow, blue. And there were more blue, yellow, blues than anything else. And it was so, sometimes, you know, your tape would get twisted and then you'd have to throw that away and start over.
How hard were the sections, the tubing sections that you would be taping?
Well, you mean where I worked or the tubes?
The tubes.
Well, a lot of them were this size, let's see.
So about a foot and a half, maybe?
And then, oh no, there were some of them great, great long. I don't suppose any of them were much more than a yard long. Maybe once in a while we got a few. But, and then, sometimes they came into us, sometimes we got them before they were bent, sometimes we got them after they were bent. Usually I think we got them after they were bent, and they'd be these odd shapes, and they'd tell us on that order, fab order, where we were to take them. And sometimes, of course you see, that color code was on there so the mechanics could trace the lines under the ship, and so you couldn't just choose where you wanted to put it on. It had to go. There had to be one on each end where the tube connected onto the next tube so they wouldn't get the engine oil hooked up to the hydraulic or the gas line hooked up to an oxygen or anything. I think oxygen was green. I've kind of forgotten now, but it seems to me it was green.
So you would put a band of tape at each end.
And then that tape had to be lacquered so it would stand. But on the hydraulic, you had three bands, blue, yellow, blue, blue, yellow, blue.
Now, so you were sitting at a bench then?
Part of the time you were standing. They didn't have enough stools for all of us. They had so many stools there, but they'd bring in new people. Sometimes they had more people. And but the girls were pretty good. As a rule, if you if there weren't enough stools to go around, usually after one set for a while, they'd let the other one, as I recall. And most of these, most of the women I worked with were easy to get along with. You know, they tried to be considerate. Of course, I can see now this one woman, girl that came so dressed up. Now, whether she was or not, I don't know. They said she was dating the lead man. And so there was quite a bit of, well, aggression. And although we all treated her nice, but I don't know, she seemed to be a little bit bossy. But a lot of the women that came in there, you know, we had all kinds. Some of them were smart, and some of them, I tell you, I just wonder where they were.
What, do you remember your impressions that first day of the other people on your crew?
Well, I was they seemed like I was introduced to them, and then later on, well, soon after we started to work, one of them showed me where the ladies' room was. It was upstairs. And I don't exactly remember. It seems like there was one woman that kind of took me under her wing, and they did show me about the taping. And I was so busy, everything was so new, and I was so busy trying to learn that taping, and I wanted to do things right and everything, that I didn't, it was just, trying to do the work, and here were all these masses of people. So often hear people say they have trouble with names. Do you know, until I went to Lockheed, I never had trouble with names. If I met somebody, I remembered that person's name. But here was all this, you just overwhelmed. You met new women up in the restroom. You met new women here. And they brought in new women. And that's when I just couldn't remember all those names. Oh, you were maybe meeting 20 people or so a day. And they'd send you, this is one thing. Oh, they had these cots up in the restroom. But try to get one if you were tired. Well, there were so many women. And I remember now, later on, they wouldn't have done that, but those cots were wide enough that two of them would lie down there together. Of course, that would probably be verboten now. They'd think bad things about it, but nobody thought anything about it then, and I don't think anything like that at all. And I do remember there was one woman. Let's see, she worked in electrical, I believe, either there or Precision Assembly. Now, I started to work in June. She had been at Lockheed since in September. And she had been in another department before. And she was very gracious, and I remember, maybe I looked tired or something. I remember she got over and told me, maybe she thought I didn't look very big, and said I could share her cot. Do you know, I met her, well, probably not the first day, but when I had only been there a short time. And she was the only one. Now, I started in there. I met her when I first started in. And do you know, later on, after the war, we both ended up in the same department. And I knew her, she got... I didn't work in the same building with her the last mm-hmm. 2 years, but she was the one person. Now, she wasn't exactly, we weren't alike. I mean, she, this is all later on telling you, she was divorced, married two or three times, but she was good-hearted. I think her trouble was she was too good-hearted, and that's why sometimes she made a couple of marriages that she shouldn't have because she was just too good-hearted. But she had a couple of children, and she was divorced, and she was glad to have that job to help support those kids. And then later on, of course, we were there long enough that I met her daughter came there to work for a while, and her son worked there for a while, and her son-in-law was working there when I left. But there was just something about it. We never were, I wouldn't say we were friends that we went bowling together or anything like that, but there was just a bond there that you couldn't, because we had worked in old Department 5, and I had known her when I within a few mm-hmm. days after I went to work. And we have even now, some of us women that had worked there a long time ago, one woman got us started on a Lockheed Friendship Club. And we meet about three or four times a year. Oh. I can't always go, but I saw her the last time I did go. and that's, mm-hmm. interesting. Oh, there were some other women that I met later on that I knew for a long time. But I always remembered her, that she was one of the first.
What about the other women on your crew, your first impressions of
Well, them? I remember being very surprised that this one girl was so dressed up. And they were nice, and I just tried to do what I could. And as I say, they showed me where the ladies' room was. And then when it came lunchtime, they told me when we heard that whistle. That was lunch. But it seems to me that most of them went out to lunch. And the people, oh, that's right, and it was warm weather then, so we went out, and no, one or two of them had brought their lunch, because there was a place, if we walked far enough, there were tables and chairs where we could eat our lunch. And I, at that time, I had a lunch pail. I took a thermos bottle and all that, I think I ate lunch with this one woman. She showed me where it was. Mm. And, by and large, except as I say this, this one woman, they all seemed to be a little jealous of her, and she did seem to be a little bossy. Now, maybe not. Maybe then the surprise of her being so dressed up, and it did seem like whatever she did was right, and some of the rest of us made mistakes. But as I look back at it now, maybe she, maybe she wasn't.
How old was she?
Well, she was quite a bit younger. I think she was about 20. She had blonde hair. She was very attractive. I wouldn't say she was beautiful, but she made the most of all she had. And
what about the other women at the bench you were at? What was their background? How old were they, and were they?
Well, some of them, I think several, some of them were in their, I can't remember now from that first day, but as went on, some of them were in their middle 30s, and then there was a woman came in there, oh heaven, she was 40. The women were coming in. They were all ages, but then there was a girl worked just, not at my bench, but the bench just across the aisle. Heavens, I don't think she was more than 18. Mm. They were just all ages.
Now, when you first started, the first, say, couple of months at that job, were most of them women who had been working before the war, or were there already many housewives there?
There were quite a few housewives. As a matter of fact, I got a ride right away, because even though they had those buses, if you could get a ride by, that was, let's see, and then I got her a ride. I don't remember now quite how I happened to get that ride, except I think I was asking around, and, oh, the day supervisor's wife came to work there, and I think, but now she worked in the office. I can't think how in the world I managed to get that first ride. Maybe they got it for me. See, they got rides for us. I think I got it through transportation. And I remember she worked in the office, and her she was on swing, and her husband was on days, because I remember her telling us that she had spent all day Sunday working around doing her housework. And how her husband said, her husband didn't really want her to go to work. She didn't need to. He was making good money, but she wanted to help him. He said, she said, what in the world was his name anyway? He said, honey, I hate to see you work so hard, but you know, you could stay home. We can do this. You don't have to go to work. So I think she didn't work very long because they didn't need the money, and because he didn't want, he wasn't. But anyway, he didn't want to do housework, and of course, as a supervisor, he was making pretty good money.
How about the other women in your bench area?
Well, most of them needed the money. There were some out there that didn't need the money, but I would say most of them, if they didn't need it, at least they could sure use it, and they were glad of a chance to work. And many of them, that's when I first, well, maybe not first, but became aware that there were so many women that maybe had a child or two to support. I hadn't run across that much before.
Who were single parents?
Well, divorced. They weren't like the single parents now, where they kept their child instead of putting it out for adoption. No, they were divorced, and I never could figure out how they could get everything done and get to work. But I began to find out that someone would say how they had it organized. it seemed to how when their little boy came home. Now here they were working swing, and some of them, it seemed to me, were leaving their children unattended till they got home, and maybe the child was only 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was right. Now many of them that came to work said, my mother's taking care of the children. I can remember that. Mm-hmm. Ever so many of them that were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were cases where the woman worked swing and the man worked
mm-hmm.
days, and there were cases where that didn't work out so well and ended in divorce because when I saw how often that happened, I still think it's a mistake. If a husband and wife wants to keep a marriage, for them to have different shifts for too long a time, I'm not talking about a short time or if there is a real need, but I saw too many marriages break up for that very reason.
Now, were these for the most part the women who had been working before the war, but this was a new job, like for you?
Well, some of them had worked before they were married.
Mm-hmm.
But after they were married, see, the housewives had, and some of them hadn't worked very long.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them had been married right out of high school and hadn't done, some of them had been waitresses, and some of them had, I remember there were some that had worked at Bullock's
mm-hmm.
And different stores. And then there were many that had come from the Midwest that I think this was their first real job.
Basically from the farms?
Or small communities, mostly small towns, I think, seemed to me. Then, as I told you before, there were some school teachers
mm-hmm.
there. And but some of them said, and it was probably true, that they could make more at Lockheed than they could teaching school. And you know, they were motivated by patriotism and money.
Do you? It sounds like the work that you were doing was relatively quiet work. Was there conversation?
Oh yes, you could talk.
At your bench?
Oh yes, we could. We could visit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked, and we could talk and still work while you were taping those tubes. And when you had a job, so you could, it wasn't like you were doing paperwork where you had to concentrate
mm-hmm.
on what. And of course, then there were jobs further in the shop where it was so noisy it was practically impossible to talk. But you could talk to the people at your bench, and of course they could call across to the
mm-hmm.
this girl over there. And yes, people were pretty friendly, and of course the timekeeper came around and checked off the work order on our, at first I didn't know what he was doing, but I hadn't been there too long till I found out what most everything on those work orders meant.
Mm.
You know, I was curious.
Now, you each got individual work orders?
No, there was one work order came with all the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, if a thing was, if the tubes were hot and there was a dispatcher working there, why, they'd break them up and maybe three or four of us would tape them if they needed them.
Mm.
But then if sometimes work would be slow, you know, till we would get some more from the bender. It wasn't that there wasn't enough work to do, but, you know, it's always hard to schedule so
mm-hmm.
that everything goes just the way it should. Then we would break the order up. But if there were enough orders there, and if there wasn't any urgency, why, a person did a whole
mm-hmm.
order, because that was, of course.
So in other words, if I understand correctly, there would be something like a bin or container.
Yeah.
That would have the tubes in them.
Yes.
And then with that container would be the work order.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And that would specify what particular color coding.
Yes, and what the whether it was to be bent. It had all the tube bending instructions
mm-hmm.
on it. Well, I've had most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think later on they had something that went with it that had, but anyway, it had, and it told whether they were to be degreased or not. Excuse me, just a minute, is this on the box?
We were talking about the work process.
Yes.
How many, when you would get a bin, for instance, of the tubes, how many would you say, in the course of an hour, take on the average?
Well, we weren't time studied
mm-hmm.
at that time, so I don't know, because during the course of an hour, it wasn't like the assembly lines you hear about in Detroit. Maybe you gotta see if you did these hydraulic tubes, it took longer than if you did the tubes that only you only had one tape. And then maybe you used your last rolls of tape, and then you had to go turn that and go to the tool crib and turn that in, get more tape. So of course you had to walk over there and do that. And then maybe you'd get interrupted because somebody'd come and want to know when that was going to be done, or there were always dispatchers around there looking at checking at orders. So I don't know. I really don't know how long it took us. But I suppose if things went smoothly, we probably could do about 2 a minute. You know, but you had to pick up the tube, and of course, there again, it depended upon how loaded down the workbench was. Sometimes we, you could have that up on your bench. Sometimes there wasn't room up there, and because we had these tape machines, and so we reach down and bring up a bunch, and then we'd sometimes we just put them back of the tape machine until we'd get quite a number, so that we could bring the ones that weren't taped up on the bench and put the ones we had taped back in the same container. Then sometimes we had another container to put them in. You know, all that things were well. You know, this had all happened so fast that I'm not blaming the company, but things weren't always as well organized as we would think they ought to be. But there would be shortages of these little hods and bins sometimes.
It doesn't sound like it was very high pressure in terms of speed, though.
No, it wasn't. And actually, you couldn't do that too speedily, because if you tried, sometimes, well, some of them worked pretty fast. And I understood later that they tried to put a fast worker by the slow worker. So the slow worker, but if you tried, particularly those hydraulic tubes, you try, did that too fast and cut them off, that tape would get snarled. And so, no, there was no pressure on us, except once in a while when a dispatcher was waiting for something. And, of course, I didn't know it then, but I can see it was probably that was the last thing they needed to get this plane off the line out there, you know. Or maybe they needed to ship them as spares. So just once in a while there would be a pressure, yes, now hurry up and get this out. And that fellow would wait there, and as soon as we got them done, why, the lead man would initial off something, and then this dispatcher would go off a hurry with them.